So May 13th, Saturday, May 13th, a week from this Saturday, it is Dandelion Day, and it starts with yoga at 9 a.m. on Main Street. There is a parade of species at 10 a.m. There's Bonedale Ballet. There's Sopra Soars. There's a flash mob. There's a seed swap at 3 p.m. There's vendors. There's live music, the Queen Bees, Elk Range Bluegrass, Grim Nymph. So be sure to put it on your calendar that you want to show up at Sopra's Park on May 13th. And today, to talk about the history of Dandelion Day, because I wasn't really aware how it started or where it started. So I have Annie Runyon Worley in the house today. She was one of the founding members of the Environmental Board and worked with Doc Phillips on starting Dandelion Day. So Annie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Excellent. So first off, Annie, tell me a little bit about the history of why the Environmental Board started.
Okay, now I had to do some looking up on this because I couldn't remember myself when you asked. But the Environmental Board, I think, began in January of 1996.
Okay.
Okay, and I only reason I found that is I found an old calendar in which it said Environmental Board meeting. So I'm assuming, I don't know if that was the first meeting or not. However, also at that time in 1996, the trustees decided to stop spraying pesticides in any parks that kids play in.
Right.
And that whole thing was initiated by Doc Phillips. Some people call him Dr. Dandelion. Some people call him Doc Phillips. But whatever you want to call him, he was the passion and the instigator of Dandelion Days and not spraying the parks with pesticides.
So the premise of the Environmental Board came from Doc's message that we have to stop spraying pesticides. So then the board
Correct.
Was formed to interact with the town in order to get that passed. And then it did.
Right.
And so, but then how did it transition into Dandelion Day? Or where did that come from the initial premise of just not wanting pesticides sprayed?
Doc was a genius. And he realized that you just couldn't be negative. You couldn't say, don't do this, don't do that. And it was him who came up with the idea of using dandelions as our focal point. You know, everybody loves dandelions when they first come out, and they're all yellow and pretty, and the bees are, you know, getting the nectar from them, and everybody just loves dandelions until they don't.
Right.
And then, of course, people think they're horrible. People think, you know, the seeds are a problem, and then they're just not conforming to the rest of the lawn. So we decided to take something that was kind of not hated, but not appreciated, and to use the dandelion as a way of helping people understand that biodiversity is Mother Nature's way of keeping the whole planet
right
healthy.
So the dandelion became sort of like the campaign or like the
yes.
public outreach.
Yes.
Sort of the face of this. The underside of it was Doc's concern about pesticides.
Definitely.
And from what you told me, this was back, you know, in the late 90s.
Right.
He was very concerned about the ramifications for health and well-being.
Correct.
From the pesticides. And now we know, you know, scientific research, whatever, you know, 20 some years later, is confirming what Doc was worried about in the first place.
Exactly. Doc was a healer. That was his profession. And he also loved to do research. I have a box of just articles from magazines and professional journals that Doc gathered for us so that all of us could get to his speed when it came to understanding the science, the proven science mm-hmm. behind pesticide use and the importance of just letting nature work its biodiversity, that everything is healthier if you don't spray poisons.
Are there any tidbits that you have today that you would want to share with our listeners about any of that science?
About that particular science? Well, back when, 25 years ago, so the only thing you forgot to say about Dandelion Days is it's its 25th year. Yes.
And it's being designated Doc Phillips
Doc
Dandelion
Phillips
Day. Yeah, Dandelion so it's, it is. That's And that's why you're here, too, because it is quite a hallmark year for Dandelion Day.
It is. And since that time and all of Doc's research, everybody else is finally starting to catch up to what Doc knew years ago and to what Carbondale has been doing for the last 25 years. You know, after we got the dandelion declared the town flower.
Which, if there's any listeners who don't know this, the dandelion is the town flower of Carbondale.
Yeah.
And Dandelion Day and the environment, that all of that is where that came from.
Exactly. And
I asked you about facts. If there were any facts you wanted to share about health or pesticides, if you don't have them,
I've got a few, but now I forget where I was going with that.
Okay.
But it was Doc's research that is now 25 years old today. And the facts that he was telling us about have even gotten more extreme, like the percentage of agricultural workers who do end up with cancers and being very sick. But, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about
from exposure today. To pesticides.
To pesticides.
But that is the undercurrent of all of this celebration and Dandelion Day and Doc Phillips Dandelion Day. The undercurrent of this is his mission to educate people about pesticides and to do whatever he could to prevent their usage in Carbondale and beyond. Yeah, and beyond.
Yeah.
So everyone should know that that's the reality undercurrent.
Yes.
Behind this, like, lovely, beautiful, you know, family gathering. That's the undercurrent.
And I've been a teacher for 35 years, and which was why Doc asked me to be on the environmental board with him, only because that was my lens through which I viewed the world was teaching. And so I'm going, well, Doc, this is all well and good. But just like, you know, the reason adults are starting to quit smoking is their kids are learning in schools how horrible it is. And then they come home and bug their parents not to do that. So what we decided to do was kind of similar. We decided to go into the schools and we went into, for 3 years in a row, we went in through, in Carbondale School, second grade through seventh grade, talking about dandelions and the many, many positive uses of dandelions and how important it was not to, I hope that's not my phone.
Is that my phone? I don't know. It's okay. We can continue.
Okay. And just how to, you know, take care of dandelions. I think it's my phone.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. I'm going to let you talk for a second while I turn my phone off. Sorry.
It's okay. This is live radio, people. It's live community radio, so we're giving you entertainment as you listen about facts. So for everyone who wants to come out, Dandelion Day is a family-friendly event. There will be an education tent where we have local farmers, producers, and educators just teaching the community. So if you're interested in sustainability, in agriculture, and what you can do to be kind of part of this movement and support it, please know that there's environmental education that runs from 11 to 2 p.m., and it'll be in the tent, kind of in the back of the park, past the playground, in addition to all the vendors and nonprofits and other people who are reaching out. Are we good now?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay.
It was my phone, yes.
Oh, Annie.
So I want to tell you, though, you know, because we started this 25 years ago, we did make some mistakes, okay? And one of them was that we thought we could get those kids out there and just have them dig up dandelions. Well, and we had all these special tools and everything, but it is very, very, very difficult to get rid of dandelions. So I want to talk for just a minute, if I may, of how to reduce dandelions. You're never going to get rid of them. After all, the Greeks used to use them. you know, a couple thousand years ago, and they thought they were one of the strongest herbs on the planet. Mm-hmm. And then dandelions have always been used as a food and a green in Europe. And it was the Europeans, probably mainly the Germans, who ended up bringing the dandelion to the United States.
Okay.
So it's been used for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, medicinally, as food.
Yes.
It has purpose. It's not just a weed.
And
weed is a judgment. Is that what you said? What's the quote?
Yes. Whether something is a weed or a flower is nothing more than a judgment.
Yes.
And that was something we would tell the kids. You know, when we went in to talk to the kids, we had coloring books, and we brought in dandelion muffins and dandelion coffee, and the kids were just all into it. But we knew that they would then go home and talk to their parents, and that was a little bit subversive on our part. We decided to get to the parents who were probably spraying their lawns with pesticides by having their kids see how beautiful they are. Not only are they beautiful to look at while they're yellow, but they are one of the earliest and main pollinators for bees.
Right.
They're the first flower up. They're up right now.
Right.
And not much else is. So,
and it's critical. And that's only in the past few years. I was kind of ignorant to a lot of agricultural and sustainability, you know, information. And when I learned how critical the role of the bees are for the entire ecosystem,
right?
I mean, seriously, the entire ecosystem. And then the degradation of bee colonies that's currently happening.
And do you know what the number one cause is for killing? Pesticides.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. You guys just use a little bit of your scientific brain and go, okay, if those pesticides are going to kill these weeds, then what are they going to be doing to all of the other little microorganisms in the soil? Hey, they're going to die too. So I know Doc is talking to me, you know, behind my shoulder and saying, you know, Annie, you just got to get these people to realize the harm that pesticides do.
Right.
And that there are some things you can do to control it. You guys, you're never going to get rid of them. You know, their roots are 4 inches to 24 inches long. And the reason those roots are that long is so that they can bring up the vital minerals from deep within the soil.
Yeah.
The calcium, the nitrogen. If it wasn't for dandelions, areas that had been degraded, you know, because of building a new house or for some reason the soil has been disturbed. Thistles, another favorite flower, I'm sure, of everybody. But thistles and dandelions are the first ones to inhabit a degraded area. And it is their job to bring up the nutrients from deep, deep, deep down so that things can live again.
So they actually have a purpose of sort of healing the soil. And most people may or may not be aware of that.
Oh, they definitely heal the soil.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it takes maybe 10 years before, and maybe even 15, before the dandelions can do their job thoroughly enough so that other things can grow. Mm-hmm. But if you had the patience to wait 10, 15 years, well, then you might not have any dandelions.
Right.
That's not what everybody wants to hear. But do you want me to talk a minute about ways to control it?
Sure. Or even ways to, like, because people in the community, since they are popping up right now, if you can tell people, like, okay, if we aren't going to spray pesticides, but maybe you don't want them to go to seed, you know, which is they turn into the little puffball.
Oh, yeah.
And spread everywhere. Maybe talk about that, like, picking the heads off or and then what to do with them. That, I think that would be useful maybe to people.
Yes. First off, though, let me put in my own personal plug.
Yeah.
And that is, like you said, a weed is a perception. So first of all, I hope everybody looks at dandelions and realize they are nutritional. They're good for us. They're good for the birds and the bees and the flower and the trees. And they are also good for the soil. Because of their deep roots, they reduce compaction. so that in the future more and more things will grow. So if you can, just look at the dandelions and go, oh, aren't they wonderful? Then, you know, that would be the first thing. And as I said, dandelions also indicate an unhealthy soil. If you have a lot of dandelions, what I would suggest doing is to improve your soil by composting, getting worms, and putting, spreading organic fertilizers on it. Try to stay away from inorganic ones, only because science will tell you that inorganic fertilizers work as good as organic, but but anyway.
But like, Annie says otherwise.
But I just have a feeling that if we do everything nature's way, we will be better off.
Right.
So don't try to dig the dandelions, which we taught the kids to do for several years. Our fault. In the spring, right now, you can really thoroughly water and you can dig them, but you're going to have to go down a minimum of 4 to 5 inches, okay? At that time, you can then put bark over what you've just dug up because, of course, dandelions are a plant and they need sunlight. So if you take the sunlight away from them, they will, of course, become weaker and might eventually die. Or if you're a budding scientist, you might even take a patch of your lawn and cover it with dark material like dark stuff, like wood chips, etc. And that will also kill the dandelions eventually. But
we don't want to kill them all, because then what would the bees have early?
Well, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you must, but I guess your plug is, if you absolutely have to get rid of your dandelions in your yard, don't spray pesticides. Do this instead.
Right.
So this is like the lesser. And then the greatest good would be just leave them alone.
Just leave them alone. And, you know, once they're real obnoxious looking, you know, once they turn into those little puffballs, although your children love to blow them, but they are kind of ugly. I get it. I really do. But then once the stalks are dead or down.
Yeah, what do we do after? If we're going to let them bloom and do their thing and help the bees, and then we're left with that, what do we do with that?
Ignore them.
Okay.
Fertilize your grass, so the grass will pretty soon just kind of come up over them. Mm-hmm. Really, it's pretty hard to dig them. I do dig them, but then, you know, I make sure I get as much of the root as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you really do you want to hear a really crazy idea that I've never tried? It's so crazy.
Sure, go ahead.
Shoot. Okay, so
might as well.
And I don't even know who came up with this, but somebody said to, when you're digging them, take the root, as much of the root as you get, in the flower and the leaves, and put them in a paper bag, let them dry, and then light that bag on fire. Then take the whole mess, the ashes of the dandelions in the bag, and put them over your lawn. And I guess it scares the dandelions from coming back or something.
Goodness.
I don't know. And I've never done that.
Sounds like a little bit of voodoo, but maybe so, maybe not.
Yeah.
But hey, and if you are going to light things on fire, always fire safety. People, we're getting into summertime, we're getting hot, so
yeah, actually that's
that.
Probably that's for the real extremists, which I know there are a lot of in Carbondale,
right?
But number one, just improve your soil's health. Mm-hmm. And don't spray it with pesticides. You're defeating all of your good intentions.
Right.
And celebrate the dandelion.
Yes. And so then another question I wanted to have, outside of just dandelions and that topic, what are some other action items for either individuals, you know, changing our behavior to support more sustainability and biodiversity, or on a bigger scale, you know, how we build our towns, how we build our homes? Do you want to speak to some action items?
I guess use our brains and our basic scientific knowledge that we really all do have within us. Think of the spider web. You know, we are all connected. You can't really mess too much without Mother Nature, with Mother Nature, without her responding.
Right.
We are all interconnected. we're all a community. And the more different we are from one another, whether it's plants or people, the more good ideas you have. There is this great book called Simple Abundance, The World is Better Than You Think, in which these different scientific organizations came together and offered prizes for the best inventions ever made. And basically, they were ones. Their belief system was the more people there are who have good ideas that we can tap into, the more solutions we have.
Right.
So biodiversity in people, in plants, in everything is a great idea. And if I can just mention one more book, have we got time?
Yeah, of course.
I love this book. I just listened to it. I wouldn't suggest reading it because it's very, very, very scientific and you might fall asleep. But this woman has just such a remarkable way of making science fun and interesting. And it's called Finding the Mother Plant by Suzanne. And her name just jumped out of my mind just now, but you can find it. And I would listen to it. And because she explains to everyone how everything is interconnected. And she has proven she's a doctorate at the University of British Columbia and has been doing science experiments on plots of land for the Forest Service for, 30 years. And what she has found is that plants do indeed send messages to one another through their root systems, yeah, through the
mycelium.
Okay, thank you.
I love how every single Current Ritual show ends up talking about mushrooms. And I was just going to say, I went to a wonderful, the inaugural event for the Western Colorado Mycological Association that just formed. So if you're interested, you should look that up. They just had an incredible speaker from the Forest Service and how they're using mushrooms to help with handling the scree, or I forget, the stuff that they're cutting to try to help amend the forest, because we're in a serious situation in our forest. And so mushrooms and the wisdom of plants, all of this stuff is being proven and
over and over.
And that's what he was saying is, with the Forest Service and even the government, they're using nature. They're learning from nature on how to mitigate these problems now. And so it's so different from, the situation that got us here in the first place, the consciousness that got us here was sort of like we are the captors and, directors and managers rather than the stewards.
Exactly.
And the recipients of wisdom from Mother Earth and the land. And so that's what, was brought up by the mycologist who did the talk was, finally we are looking at the wisdom of how nature handles problems to make the plan for how we handle the problem.
And, if you really want to think about pesticides in a slightly different way, think of clear-cut forest. And when you look at them, how you just want to cry.
Right.
Well, pesticides, once again, don't only kill the weeds. They kill everything.
Right.
Now, I know different pesticides have different strengths, etc. Mm-hmm. But just, look at the world as a community.
Right.
That we want to encourage biodiversity. Right. We want to let nature solve its imbalances, because she will.
Right, exactly. And that's where, something that we talked about was grass. Do we really need, when we build homes and looking at all that lawn care, landscaping is a huge industry in this valley. And it's like, can we move toward wildflower beds? Can we move toward edible, gardens? Can we move toward drought resistant, and appropriate native plants that don't require, so that we can get into this biodiversity and getting back into more of how Mother Nature would handle herself versus creating this artificial scenario, this artificial environment here.
And if, golf courses are great. I mean, I like to play golf, and I like a nice green golf course. I will admit it.
Maybe that'll be the only place you'll approve of grass.
But that's it.
Right.
All the houses around it could have biodiversity in them. They can have nothing but trees. They can have nothing but flowers. They can have nothing but weeds.
Right.
You know, we just kind of need to.
And then grass in our parks for our kids to play.
Definitely.
But grass with dandelions without pesticides is the goal.
And if you're not a golf course, do you really need a perfectly manicured green lawn?
I guess that's a question we're all going to have to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, our time together is coming up to an end. So if anyone joined in the middle, I just want to say again, Dandelion Day is May 13th, next Saturday. Annie, thank you for coming in and giving us some history.
And thanks to Doc Phillips, who started it all.
Yay, Doc Phillips. So it's Doc Phillips, Dandelion Day, May 13th. Come out and celebrate with us.
Thank you, Kat.
Thanks, Annie. Until next time.